Everybody, good morning. How are you doing this morning? As you see, we're back. We're live. And, you know, it's not every day you get to talk to a legend. Mr. Carmine Appice is here with me this morning. We're going to talk to him in a few seconds. But I just got to tell you real quick that this show and every show that we do here is brought to you by Next Home Brandywine in Downeytown, Pennsylvania. Dan Peasy and his team of professional realtors, they provide you with guidance, knowledge, and information for all buyers and sellers. Go to nexthomebrandywine.com for all the details or to contact an agent. They service Philadelphia and the surrounding counties, but nationwide referrals are available. Be sure to ask for the Annie's 5 listing special or just give them a call directly at 484-364-4862. That's 484-364-4862 and tell them Totally Driven Entertainment sent you. Well, here he is, the one and the only Mr. Carmine Appice.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Carmine. You know, it's kind of scary. We actually we did an interview, and I looked back in the archives. It was like 6 years ago.
Yeah, you look familiar, actually, to me.
The most important question, though, I asked you, let's see if you can remember this. I asked you, since I'm a fellow Italian, if it's gravy or sauce.
I remember that, actually. I remember you asking that. I remember somebody asking. It must have been you. Well, in Brooklyn, it was gravy.
Absolutely. Now, what part of Brooklyn
are you from? In LA, it's sauce.
And that's what you said last time. I remember that.
Yeah.
Now, what part of Brooklyn are you from?
It was Borough Park.
Okay.
Which is now all Hasidic Jews.
My fiance's family is from Brooklyn, and they're from Williamsburg and.
Oh yeah, Williamsburg.
Yeah.
Well, see, Williamsburg when I was growing up was a bad area.
Okay.
You know, I used to play block dances down there, in Williamsburg. I played accordion. This guy played an accordion, and he had a 1956 baby blue Cadillac convertible.
Wow.
Had the huge trunk. We fit everything in the trunk of that Cadillac. And we would go down to Williamsburg and play this. They would cut off like a one city block, you know, and have a block dance, they called it.
You know? Wow. You probably had all the equipment in the trunk and still room to add more.
Probably, because I had a small drum set. We had an accordion with a little amplifier and a guitar with a little amplifier. The amplifier was probably, you know, this big, you know, where is it? Where is it? About that big, like that, you know?
Too funny.
A huge trunk. I mean, you could have a party in that trunk.
Sure, absolutely. People probably, like, make hot tubs out of them now today.
They probably do.
So there's been a, you know, this whole crazy time going on in the world right now with the, you know, the virus and the pandemic. How you been holding up and what have you been doing during this time?
Well, I've been holding up. You know, when it first started, we were in Connecticut. We were selling our house, my wife's house in Connecticut. And we had bought a house in Florida in October. And we, you know, started renovating at the end of January. And we were planning to move there once we sold the house in Connecticut. So the house in Connecticut actually sold. And so we moved down to Florida. So we were spent like the month of like the whole month of April, pretty much and May, pretty much packing.
Oh, wow. You
know, we ended up with 168 boxes. You know, and then we were selling furniture and get rid of furniture. And at the same time, I was mixing a new Cactus record. You know, by doing it by the internet, you know, so we were doing that. And so basically by the end of May, we drove down to Florida and we moved in here. So since we've been here, as you can see, we're in Florida. You see that we're on a little lake and palm trees. And, you know, I built a studio in the guest house. My brother built the computer for me. So he's a computer geek as well. My brother, Vinny. Not only a great drummer, he's a great computer guy. And so I got a studio in the house now, so I've been working on that. I've been working on a new record with a young guitar player, learning how to work my studio
by Wow.
working with this guy. Plus, I did a couple of sessions in there. I did a Modern Drummer Festival in there. Now I'm you know, gathering stuff together. I just ordered a board from Amazon, a little 12-track board, because I could plug all the drums into it when I do a live masterclass online. or we're going to do, me and Vinny are doing a master class at Rock Fantasy Camp in November. So oh, cool. I'm getting it all set up. I got cameras in there. You know, I had to get lighting, you know, just setting all that stuff up. While we're finishing, you can see we're working on the pool area. I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah.
You know, we got workmen in there finishing off the pool area. And I've been really busy. You know, and now I'm producing a young band called Kodiak, they're like a new Van Halen. They're brothers, you know, they're guitar and bass brother, guitar and drums brothers, just like them. They have their own studio. I've been working with them. You know, once this thing is ended, I have a record deal for them on a good label. So we've been working on that. And, you know, we finished the Cactus record. Now that's done. And now we're doing this. We're going to do a new Vanilla Fudge record. And I'm producing a woman that wants me to do a couple of tracks for her. So I'm doing that. And I've been busy.
You're not slowing down at all?
No. I mean, the only thing I'm missing is playing. So I just met yesterday with a kid that's the keyboard player, singer, and front man of a church band. And I went to see them on Sunday, and they were awesome. So I'm working on getting the church a drum set, and then I'm going to play with them. And I wrote a Christian song that I think I sent him the stems for, and this kid's going to play keyboard and sing on it. It's a great voice, a really great voice.
That's awesome.
And they said, you know, we can work that up and play it in the church. You know, I mean, I know a lot of friends of mine that have played in churches, and some of the great drummers have come into churches, you know. But they have a great R&B gospel band, and I love that stuff. I love vocals.
Sure.
So I might play in church, you know. Well, while we can't do gigs, at least, you know, I won't get paid for it. At least I can play some gigs.
There you go. Now, is that something, you know, talking about that band Kodiak and this other person, the singer that you're coming across, is that something you've been doing for a while? Is helping like new talent? It sounds like,
well,
you're kind of
helping. I've done it over my life. I mean, you know, I produce stuff. I mean, this Vanilla Fudge record, I produced it, the Zeppelin one. Mm-hmm. You know, I produced all the Katazu stuff. You know, I produced King Cobra. I produced Cactus. You know, the new album I co-produced with Paul Warren, our guitar player. The other albums I produced, you know, I mean, I've been producing all my life since Vanilla Fudge's fourth album.
Wow.
You know, I've been producing stuff, you know.
Interesting.
So, yeah, and sometimes you find people, you know, I found this woman. She's not young, but she's got a good voice, and she, you know, wanted me to play on her two songs. I said, look, I don't want to just play on songs that you wrote if I don't think the songs are any good.
Right.
Just to play on and to make some money. I don't want to do that. And I said, I'd work on the songs with you, and maybe I'll work on your vocals to, you know, because, you know, I've been singing all my life.
Yeah.
I work with, you know, some great singers, Rod Stewart, Joel Turner, and just to name Mark Stein, all great singers, Rusty Day, you know, these are all great singers. So I know how to record singing, and I know what makes a good singer a good singer. Mm-hmm. And when to use a vibrato and when not to use a vibrato, you know. So I said, if you want to do that, I'll end up playing on your tracks, but I'll end up producing the song and help you co-write the song so they're good songs with good hooks.
Right.
Not just like, here's a song. Play on it, and then, you know, you release it, and, you know, I don't want to be involved in anything unless it's good.
Do you think there's a lot of that going on today with the music business? Because so many people can just do that. Oh. They can just put a song together and write it. Next thing you know, it's on Spotify.
Totally. And this woman had videos that did 250,000 views.
Wow.
You know? I don't get it. And then she sent me the video of it. I'm not going to mention names, but I don't get it. You know, it's a kind of a song. I mean, like I told her, I want my guy to mix it too, because, you know, my guy knows how to mix. He knows how to mix the drums to get the drums to sound the way they should sound. You know?
Wow. Now, you mentioned too, before we went live, you said you and your brother do a thing, Hanging and Banging, like kind of like what we're doing now.
Yeah, it's called Hanging and Banging. It's on Artists on Lockdown on Facebook. And we have guests every week, and we just talk like we're doing.
Nice.
Tell story. Most of the time we have people we know. We've had Derek Sherinian from Sons of Apollo, a keyboard player, who was a friend of mine a long time. We've had Eric Singer, who I know a long time. Danny Serafine, who I know a long time. Nico McBrain, I know. Max Weinberg. We've had Pat Travis, Rick Derringer, Bumblefoot.
Nice.
You know, it's like a regular show. Tonight we have this guy named Dave Hulk. He was the original guy with Boston.
Okay.
Boston guitar player. It was going to be Kip Winger, but he canceled on us quick, so we had to throw somebody in there. And you know, Ron Anesti, who has the Al-Qaeda Theater outside Chicago, who everybody plays there. He got this guy, you know, as a fill-in. But we're going to have in the future Lita Ford, Ted Nugent,
nice.
Kip Winger, Joe Vitale, you know.
Nice.
And it's a lot of fun. We've done 16 shows already.
Wow.
You know, and we're trying to get it so we can have a subscription.
But okay.
People pay $10 a month. You know, if we can get, you know, a couple of thousand people around the world to watch it.
Sure.
You know, I mean, $2.50 a show. I mean, come on, that's cheap.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, that gives us some money to work with.
Yeah.
But now we're looking like a show. We have an intro. You know, you can go on my Facebook and check out one of the shows. We have an intro. We have outros. We have, you know, we have the four screens. We move them around. You know, we can zoom in on one guy. You know, Bumblefoot was on. We played a little guitar. We had Bruce Kulick last week. He played a little guitar.
Nice.
You know, so it's really a lot of fun, you know. And me and my brother do it every week. And then tonight we're doing that. And at 9 o'clock, I'm doing Ted Nugent's show
that.
And so in return, he's going to do our show.
Nice.
Yeah.
I noticed you're pretty active on Facebook, doing a lot of drum videos for the fans and stuff like that. Kind of like a name this tune. And
Yeah. I mean, I did that because of the pandemic, you know. And otherwise, really, you know, like I don't use Facebook for like, wow, I went to the beach today and look at the water, how beautiful it is, you know. I don't do anything like that. It's only for music, you know. Except on my Carmine A Piece official, I put up a piece last week, a few days ago, that I got like, I don't know, almost 500 comments and like over 200 shares.
Wow.
And it was all about Black Lives Matter and its roots and who's funding it and all that. And I didn't say I went, you know, positive or negative about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, here's something to look at, read it, food for thought. You know, and then I got people, you're just a racist and all that. You know what? Quite honestly, I don't really care. You know, I mean, I'm allowed my opinion. And mostly out of all the people that commented, of the 400, almost 500 comments, I read maybe 10 or 12 that were negative. You know, my daughter even made me take it off my regular one. She said, Dad, you look like a racist. I said, not a racist. I just put it up for everyone to read, food for thought.
Right.
You know, you come to your own conclusion, you know. But I took it off there because I don't want to hear my daughter.
the music world recently lost a great person, an amazing talent, amazing drummer, Frankie Benali. When we lose people like this, is it kind of like you're already a person who's always busy and doing, you know, different projects and things you've done through your career. You're continually doing more music and things like that. You're talking about things with your brother and all. Does it kind of even motivate you to do more? Like, I got to do more.
Not really. I mean, what it does, it lets you realize the mortality of all of us, you know, and, you know, you become more, you know, I mean, I almost died myself a couple of years ago, you know, with the health thing. And since then, I've been listening to the Bible and, you know, I thanked my Lord, you know.
Right.
When I woke up in this place, I was in a dark room. I thought I died.
Wow.
You know, so it's scary. But Frankie, I love Frankie. He was such a good guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did that Quiet Riot record. I was working in that studio. Pasha. I had my solo record was released on Pasha, and I recorded the Nugent album I did in Pasha, and they recorded it like an LA studio with the drum booth, and it was all, you know, taped down, and you know, there's no ambience in it or anything, and it was awful. So when I said I said to Spencer Proper, who owns Fube, look, if you want me to work here, I got to fix the drum sound in this place. He said, well, what do you want to do? I said, first of all, get rid of all the rugs. Let's put up plywood all around the room and create some ambience. You know, you need some slap. You need some echo.
Yeah.
You know, I can't be dead. So he said, okay. So I worked with the engineer, Dwayne Barron, and we came up with this killer drum sound that I used on my Vanilla Fudge Mystery album. I used it on the Derringer and the Peace record, Party Tester, that we did in 83. And then Frankie Benelli used it on the first Quiet Riot record.
Oh, wow.
And that went huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so when he first recorded it before it came out, Frankie was, wow, man, I love the drum sound you got. It was great. Thanks so much for working with Spencer and getting that drum sound. It's killer. I said, oh, thanks, man. I'm glad you got to use it. Who knew?
Right.
Five million records later, you know, I'm busting Frankie's balls. I go, yeah, you got your hit record on my drum sound, you little bastard. Yeah, but we've been good friends. Every time I've seen him, he'd give me a kiss and a hug. And, you know, and he's, if we do something together, like we did some of these Bonzo bashes, he would come in, he'd bring spaghetti and meatballs and give me a kiss on the cheek and say, hey, Paisan, you know. I saw him in January at the NAMM show, and it wasn't looking good, you know. I said, man, I'm so sorry you're going through this. He said, thanks, man. You know, and he was just a beautiful human being.
He was.
And I hear they're going to continue Quiet Riot without him. That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of weird because there's no original members. It's like a tribute band. I mean, at least they should call Carlos or call Rudy.
Yeah. Rudy gave his blessing.
Yeah, I know. I know, but it's crazy. You know, it's like doing Blue Murder without John Sykes. You know, I mean, they did it without Kevin, which was pretty wild that they got it going.
Right.
But anyway.
Music so, business.
So we have the, you know, the reason we're doing this, we have this Vanilla Fudge record coming out.
Yeah, so was this planned before the whole pandemic? Did that inspire it? Or?
No, it didn't inspire it. We had a deal going with Golden Robot Records. We're going to do a new record called Supreme Fudge with Supreme songs because, you know, Keep Me Hanging On was our biggest song.
Sure.
And since it was in that Quentin Tarantino movie, our royalties have like quadrupled.
Wow.
You know, and so... You know, the label wanted to do a record called Supreme Fudge and do like five Vanilla Fudge Supreme songs.
Okay.
And then maybe three other R&B and then two or three originals. So we signed a deal with that. And then our manager, who was with us at the time we recorded this album, 2006, we did the Zeppelin album.
Okay. You know,
and it came out with a label that went out of business, but this was the manager who was with us. We're back with him again. He said, why don't we get that released? I'll talk to Golden Robot. So they loved the idea. So we remastered it, redid the artwork, retitled it. And then they said, they gave us a little advance for it, you know? And so we're going to release this. We'll release it first to get, you know, Golden Robot working with Vanilla Fudge going. And then we'll do the new album. And then, you know, we'll already have a relationship to already have something out with the two of us, you know? Hold on, how do I shut this? There we go. And we, you know, we'll get some going. So we gave them the record, we remastered it. And then about a month and a half ago, they said, we're going to release this September 23rd, whatever the release date is, and we're going to do a video. So they sent me the remaster, it sounded great. And they said, we want to do a video. So I've been doing videos with my guitar, Zeus. I don't know if you've seen any of those. And the latest one was Code 19, which is pretty freaky, right?
Right.
Yeah, so anyway, so I said to Tom, the manager, I said, look, I know this guy that really can do a great job with a video when we don't have pieces to do it with.
Right.
You know? So we got some old footage of the Fudge and gave it to him, and he redid the whole thing and put this video together, and it's awesome. I had Tom, the manager of the visionary, work with him on what he saw as what the video should be like, you know, and we did it, and it came out great, so I believe that's coming out as well. So, and then the whole record's coming out, you know, it's a whole record of Zeppelin songs. We did Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, Dazed and Confused, your time is going to come. All of my love. Fool in the Rain.
Nice.
We did all these songs. We did Vanilla Fudge on them, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So now the whole record comes out?
All analog, too. I think it's just the singles coming out first.
Single.
And then the album's going to follow.
Okay.
They're trying to space it out. I think the album will come out maybe this is my thoughts, maybe like November or so into Christmas.
Okay.
And that gives us time to start working on the new album, which we have a lot of song arrangement ideas already. It's just a matter of getting the budget money from them and figuring out where we're going to record it. Because I have the studio here. Mark Stein lives close to me. He can come down here and bring his portable B3, and we could work in my studio on the arrangements and get the organ and the drums down, and then maybe bring the other guys down and go into another studio, or even here. I don't have amplifiers here. We're going to another studio and, you know, and put the bass and guitar and do vocals, you know. So we're working on figuring that out now. But we're trying to figure out from the label when we're going to get the budget money.
Gotcha.
So
it sounds like you mentioned analog, like you still like to do it that old school way.
Totally. But now we do it differently. Now we do it, we start digitally. Because you can utilize all the good things about digital, cut and paste stuff. And then when we get to the mix, we mix it and we dump it to analog.
Nice.
And then back. We just did that with Cactus. We did that with the Spirit of 67. This album is all analog. We recorded analog. It was mixed analog and mixed by Pat Regan, a great mixer. And it was all done analog. So now we'll do this one, we'll record it digitally, and by the time it gets into, you know, formed for a vinyl, it's going to be sounding analog.
That's awesome.
This is sounds exciting. Warmer. It doesn't sound as processed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got, again, you got so much going on. The Cactus album that you were saying, when's that coming out?
That's going to be out in the spring.
Okay.
And that's a great record. Now we're also, I think, see, we're going to tour with Rick Derringer, Pat Travis, and Cactus in the spring because it's all the same manager.
Okay.
Right? And he just got a deal for everybody on Cleopatra. So it's all going to come out on Cleopatra. Everybody's got their own album. But we're also going to do a blues cover album.
Oh.
Three songs by Cactus, three songs by Rick, three songs by Pat, and then two songs with like me playing with Rick and Pat and, different bass players and you know, share some of the vocalists. So it's going to be a really interesting collaboration. So that label will have four records to promote to that tour.
Did you ever think you'd see a time where you'd be doing Vanilla Fudge, Cactus, and everything else all at the same time on different labels?
No. And Drum Wars. We're going to start working on a new Drum Wars record. And no, I never thought, you know, back in the old day, like I couldn't join Rainbow because I had a deal on MCA with Mike Bloomfield and that stuff. Right? It was KGB. Okay. I couldn't join Whitesnake for that huge album that they did. They asked me to join. I couldn't do it. I was signed to Capitol Records with King Cobra.
Oh, wow.
So you couldn't do that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it doesn't matter. You got, you know, Cleopatra's got Cactus. Golden Robot's got Vanilla Fudge. You know, it's not, you're not signed to them like that. You know, I got Rocker Records, my own label's got my Guitar Zeus. You know, it's like, you know, you got different labels coming out. I got, you know, Atlantic still got Vanilla Fudge. Atlantic still has Cactus. Epic's got Jeff Beck, BBA. We got a live album we worked on that's going to come out eventually. So, you know, it's a whole different business now.
Wow. If you would have like had a crystal ball and saw in the future with that whole Whitesnake thing, do you think you would have gone with the Whitesnake or stuck with King Cobra? Was your like heart and passion really?
Well, I would have been sued by Capitol unless they would have let me do it. I said I have my own snake to deal with. I told them, and then I recommended Ainsley, and they put Ainsley on it, and Ainsley made like over $500,000 on that record.
Wow.
Yeah, but hey, what are you gonna do?
That's true.
I had my ups and downs. I had, you know, but as a whole, I had a great career. I look back on it and, you know, I'm still here. I'm still playing, still creating. That's the thing, like having the studio at the house. I love it. I go out there and I spend hours and it just flies by, you know? And my wife called me, are you ever coming home?
But yet you are home.
But I'm home. I'm through the garage.
Too funny. Okay. Well, Carmine, this is great talking to you. Great talking to you again, always. Yeah. Have some nice Sunday gravy, I hope, with some good, some gnocchi.
She's making good gravy and veal, eggplant parmesan. And nice. My son was here last week and she made eggplant parmesan. I said, hey, Dad, I never ate eggplant parmesan. I said, get out of here. Because you never eat eggplant parmesan. You know, when I was with your mother, she used to make it. You never ate it? She said, no, I don't remember eating it. Well, how do you like it? I love it. I said, good. You should start eating it.
There you go. That's
okay,
awesome.
Man. Good to talk to you.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.